The scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bruce, for that rousing reading. When I hear the resurrection story from Matthew's gospel, I always think I should be wearing a crash helmet and safety goggles. Because of the four gospel resurrection accounts, Matthew's is the loudest and the most bombastic and the most dangerous, with its earthquakes and its lightning fast, dazzling white angel and guards quaking with fear and fainting dead away. It explodes into our imagination. Matthew narrates his version of the Jesus story with wondrous signs, in amazing Technicolor, if you remember Technicolor, and 3D and IMAX and surround sound, because he wants us to grasp the cosmic implications of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Remember the beginning of the gospel? There is a new star that appears in the heavens to announce Jesus' birth, and mysterious Gentile visitors, wise wizards from the east, come to pay this special baby homage. And at the moment that Jesus dies, Matthew tells us that not only does the curtain of the temple torn in two, and this is in the other gospel stories, but Matthew says, the earth shakes, rocks are split in two, tombs are opened, and saints of God come spilling out of them to go walking around Jerusalem even before Jesus' resurrection. And a Roman centurion who was there at the cross, one of those least likely to heed the signs, cries out, "Truly, this man was God's son." Matthew is making sure that we get it, that we get that Jesus brings God's change for a world in desperate need of change. Change not just for the children of Israel, but for the entire world, the whole cosmos. Jesus is the Messiah fulfilling the ancient prophecies, ushering in God's kingdom of love and justice for all people. All is changed irrevocably because of Jesus. All is made new. And we are left breathless with the very dramatic revelation of this good news. Christ is risen, and you say?
Christ is risen.
Amen. Alleluia. Now, while the special effects are really magnificent and not to be taken lightly, I have to admit that there are some subtler moments in the story that shake me to the core. There are those moments in the opening lines of Matthew's story when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, possibly Jesus' mom, get up in the dark before sunrise and quietly journey to the tomb looking for their beloved Jesus. They are coming to anoint his dead body in the proper ritual way. They come, if you can imagine, knowing that the foundation of their world has crumbled. The cornerstone of their lives has been pulled from its place and smashed. My guess is that they are too tired, too numb, too sad to even think about the future of this movement that Jesus has started. Nothing matters anymore to them except to be with him one last time. I've been on journeys of grief such as this, and I bet that you have too. The women reach the tomb just as all heaven breaks loose with signs and wonders, and then I imagine there is a moment of silence. After the flash of lightning and the crash of the rolling stone and the thump of the guards slumping to the ground unconscious, I imagine that even the birds are startled into silence. Perhaps the women cough and sputter as the earthquake dust settles and clears, sparkling in the morning light, but making no sound. It's utterly still, except for their pounding hearts. And into the stillness, out of the darkness of the tomb, the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus. Looking for Jesus." In the midst of all the noise of proclamation, the angel speaks the simple truth. "I know you are looking for Jesus." That phrase haunts me. I have been looking for Jesus all my life. What about you? In fact, I would even call my search a habit, something I do repeatedly, time and time again, particularly at Easter. I can think of only one Easter in my entire life when I missed being in church. Even in the years when I was not a regular churchgoer, when that was not my thing, I was always in church on Easter, looking for Jesus. We may love the Easter egg hunts and the new clothes and the big dinners with family and friends, but I think the real habit of Easter is looking for Jesus. Matthew would tell us with all his signs and wonders that that's because we are looking for God and the life of God's kingdom, God's realm. Isn't that our deepest curiosity? What is this mysterious thing called life? Isn't that why we return habitually to Easter year after year, looking for new life, looking for Jesus? The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Jesus, that man of Nazareth that the women knew and loved. Jesus, who was crucified because He nonviolently confronted the political and religious powers of his time with the love, compassion, distributive, and restorative justice of God's kingdom. God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified, says the angel. Crucified because Jesus never shied away from life. Crucified because he lived and preached the wholeness of the kingdom of God in the very midst of life, with family and strangers, eating and drinking, healing the sick and telling stories to enemies as well as friends, in the midst of controversy with the faith community that he loved, and conflict with the death-dealing empire of his day. And the angel continues, he is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Jesus is not here in the halls of the dead, in the dark and moldering confines of a tomb. Jesus is alive and going ahead of you to Galilee, the place where you lived and traveled with him all those years. Galilee, where you live. Jesus is raised and going ahead of you back into life. Go to Galilee, where you live, and there you will see him. So we make it a habit each Easter to leave our everyday lives and come to church looking for Jesus. And yet the angel tells us, he has risen. Go back to your lives, and there you will find Jesus, the proclaimer of God's realm on earth. Now, the interesting thing I learned about that word habit is that its original meaning from the Latin was not repetitive action. Its original meaning was a place where one dwells, lives, inhabits. So our habit must be to look for Jesus in all the places we inhabit. He is hiding there in plain sight, in all that life brings to us: family, friends, learning and work, times of challenge, times of celebration, journeys of grief. And he is there in the confrontation with death-dealing empire power. For we too live in times just as Jesus did, when peace is sought by the world's powers through warfare rather than sharing of resources, when fear of scarcity is used as an excuse to make the rich richer and the poor poorer, when human beings seek domination over the gifts of creation rather than stewardship with the gifts of creation. My friends, God's resurrection of Jesus was and still is the resounding no to empire's attempt to control through death and scarcity and to create peace through violence. God's resurrection of Jesus is also the resounding yes to life and to us as co-creators of God's realm on earth. Jesus, the crucified and risen Christ, is with us in all the beauty and all the mess. At the egg hunt and the family dinner, in caves obliterated by bombs, and in hospitals where people suffer needlessly from chemical warfare. Children who gathered here just a moment ago, Jesus is with you on the playground at school, Grown-ups, Jesus is at work with you in the boardroom, the classroom, or that tiny little cubicle. Jesus is even in the complicated corridors of our nation's Congress. And Jesus walks with us here in Fort Collins, in the conversation and the conflict of community building. Wherever life takes us, the risen one goes before, leading the way because of the power of the living God. And we are called to shout no with God to death. And we are called to shout yes with God in Christ to abundant life. Now, I think that is worth celebrating with a few special effects. Amen.